welcome all of you. We're kind of informal here, so we're just going to have a good time and get on with the issues. We're very interested in meeting Jake, but first let's have the Pledge of Allegiance. Doug, will you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes.
No additions or corrections as far as I'm concerned.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed? Okay. Our starliner, Jake, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jake Obrist. I'm from Lapine. Previously worked here for about 4 years and been with the city of Bend for the last 3.5. And now I'm back home and got a lot of projects on the docket and looking forward to having fun and watching this town grow.
Good. We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
We're very lucky to have Jake and excited for him to be here. His first day was yesterday. So we're giving him bringing out all the stops this week for him. He's making phone calls left and right. He was out at the plant. Earlier today, have this today and a council meeting tomorrow night. One thing about Jake is that he's going to be here at City Hall. His office will be here at City Hall upstairs right next to mine instead of over at the Public Works office on Hinkle. He'll be in and out of the office a lot, coordinating with the crew and being wherever he needs to be around the city. But we thought that was a really important piece of having a stronger team and better coordination between everything going on within the city.
Good. Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
How about updates on the projects?
Sure. I'm going to remind everyone real quick that, I don't know, it was maybe 6 months ago, we hired Eric Huffman as the engineer of record, essentially the city engineer, on a contractual basis to work with the city and represent us and be an expert on engineering services. So it's worked out tremendously, whether it's sitting in on a site plan meeting with developers, being able to look at specs and provide input on what the city requires for engineering standards, or going on site and doing inspections. Eric's been a tremendous resource, and I'd say he's been working very, very well. He was working really closely with Scott on a number of projects, and also with Tammy and I on some planning projects. So I think I'm going to invite him up, and he'll give you an update on some of the projects we got going on in town, and it'll be a good update for Jake as well. So
yeah,
I take a seat here.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I've had the pleasure of working with Eric on a few projects in Bend as well, so
yeah,
definitely know each other.
So just to update on a few projects that are going on, the city right now has two capital projects that are under construction. One of those projects is the landscaping and irrigation improvements and electrical improvements that are happening right there at First Street and Highway 97. The sod was actually delivered today. They are installing sod in that swale area right now, and they indicated that sod would be in the next day or two. Other than that, it's just wrapping up some of the electrical work, and that project will be complete here in the next couple of days.
So on the sod, are they doing everything north of the intersection as well?
North of the intersection, no, not in those swales. Those are ODOT managed. They've got certain topsoil in there, and there's no sod going in those in those large swales, no. Just in the area between the curb and the sidewalk.
So is the bare dirt going to hold up?
They had hydro-seeded it, so there would be some plant material that would grow in there. However, not very much of anything has grown in there so far. So that might be something we should talk to ODOT about, is whether maybe they need to put some more seed mulch in there to get that to be stable. So.
One of the questions that I heard about was they're putting in sleeves for all the fire poles down Huntington now, replacing them all. If they come out on First Street too, that means they're going to have to dig down through all that new stuff out there, so that's going to be a...
These are sleeves for electrical
Those are the flag poles.
Oh, okay.
They go down about 3 foot.
They set them up for Frontier Days every year.
Yeah. And other days.
And those are, oh, okay.
They figured that in the original.
Oh, and those are going to be right in the concrete and the sidewalk.
Not necessarily, no. They're on the, to the side of the sidewalk.
He's worried about the utilities that are buried there.
There are a lot of utilities buried right there. Yeah, there's a whole bunch.
We don't want anybody going down there with a drill and just pulling out everything we got.
So these are mounted into a, there's some sort of concrete footing that they're based.
No, they aren't concrete. They're just
PVC.
PVC.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. All right.
And then you put in a wooden pole there with a bag on.
I see. All right. Well,
all along there, about spaced, what, 8 to 10 foot, something like that.
Yeah, okay. So really it's a matter of just calling that utility locate in before that gets going. I have all the as-builts, so I have all the lines. I have a map with all the lines that are in there.
I just
so we can make sure
they
of that.
Have a crew out right now on Huntington.
Okay, I can go check on that. Okay.
And I saw them out there, so I would prefer it if we got to them before they start going.
Yeah,
out
definitely.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never
thanks
know what they're going to do.
Yeah, thanks for the information about that.
Hey, Russ, are those volunteers that are out there?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I just wanted to make sure.
I think they're weird. Parks and Rec. Okay. Most of the volunteers are Parks and Rec.
Okay.
That's where I heard it from anyway.
Gotcha.
That's
what it
is. All right. The other capital project that's going on right now is the modifications to the Wickiup Junction, Wickiup Lift Station. And that's to replace the existing pump with a pump that's more efficient for effluent. And that project started, I believe, approximately 3 weeks ago construction. The time frame for the construction is fairly long, so they've got up to 4 months, I believe, left in their contract to finish that. They had indicated that they would like to finish it up in a much shorter time frame than that, and they can. And so hopefully it'll be done in the next month to 2 months.
Any size change to the motor?
I don't know that there's any change in the electrical requirements for the motor. I didn't prepare the plans for that project. I'd have to take a look and figure that out.
My understanding is that there were two main purposes of upgrading and retrofitting that lift station. One of which was to get rid of the troublesome and problemsome grinder pumps, and then also to be able to have added capacity for when the wastewater expansion does happen farther north into town.
The only question I have, we don't need any more pipes going out of there, though, right?
No, it'll all go down the same force main pipe that...
otherwise we've got to get across 97. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, all the wastewater that comes from Wickiup Junction now crosses the highway, and that's in a steel sleeve underneath the highway, and that has the ability to collect the whole Wickiup Junction area now.
And that's, as I remember it, that was big enough so even with Kangalonnag can still transfer all the waste.
Yeah,
it's a big enough pipe to handle though.
Yeah, I believe it's a 4-inch force main that comes out of the out of that lift station, which comes down by Crescent Creek back to the city or downtown, and that's really just limited by the velocity in the pipe. You can run a lot. You can with the bigger pump, you can just put more velocity. There is a limit to how much velocity you can have in that pipe, but that does have the capability to take all of the Kegel area. So that will be installed hopefully in the next month or two. That will be wrapped up. And then I can update you on a couple of other developer projects that are going on as well. We were recently inspecting some work that was being done on the Mid-Oregon Credit Union. And it's the public improvements for that project include sidewalk and curb. There is a little bit of swale area for some stormwater containment in that area. They've also dedicated several feet of right-of-way to the city, so it's wider there than it is for Huntington. And the plan is as development occurs along Huntington, that businesses or those site plans would then include the dedications of right-of-way so that the ultimate street cross-section would be wider than it is today. Sidewalks could be wider. There could be 8-foot wide sidewalks generally south of First Street would all be 8-foot wide sidewalks, and then the full road cross section with bike lanes and street trees and swales for drainage could be constructed all the way through there. Another project that you see is the commercial center development right there on Finley Butte and the highway. That project includes some new water main for the city, and they've actually already constructed that water main. They're trying to move as fast as possible on that project, and we're trying to get all the reviews done and coordinate with ODOT for those reviews to get ODOT's approval, because ODOT has jurisdiction over the points of access on the highway. So we're working with ODOT to make sure that they will approve the access location that they'd like to have it at. And as soon as that happens, then they'll be able to get their building permit and finally pour their forms. They're already preparing their forms for foundation, and they really want to get going on that as soon as possible. And that's going to be a couple of stores going in there. In addition to that, there are I've been working on review of, there are three different mini storage projects that are in the works right now. And those are in various stages of review or beginning of construction, and so those will be coming online, I imagine, this year.
Two of those are expansions of existing units, and one is new construction in the business park.
One now at Waygate Junction out there. Mm-hmm. Where's the third one?
It's up on Highway 97. No, not on Reed Road. It is. It's just north of the Wikia station pub. It's kind of back. Yeah.
It's walking off the draft right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Between. So. Yeah, we've gotten more planning applications since January than we had in all of 2015. So we've been very busy, and the city took over planning services from Deschutes County about 2 years ago. And you know, it's good that we have a solid team in place, Tammy Wisco and Eric, Rick, myself, and Jake, to be able to review all these and,
yes,
and not be a holdup on development as well, because I know that's something that sometimes likes to get flung at jurisdictions, local governments, is what are you doing? You're holding up us trying to, get things done and hire people and be productive. And we've been very flexible within our bounds to keep things moving forward. So
one other thing I wanted to mention is me and my staff is here today. We've been working with Scott Perkins, and I look forward to working with Jake on this too. But they're development standards for the city there are some old development standards for the water and sewer district. We are working on developing some standards that will really help the development processes. A lot of the questions that come in are, how thick does the concrete need to be on the sidewalk? How thick does the asphalt need to be? How much base rock do we have to be on the ground? How do we have to compact it and have it tested? And it's like, yeah, you really need to have those things, and they really need to be in a document that is a standard document, so when somebody comes in, you can give them that and say, this is the way the process works. And before somebody starts tearing up a street, they need to provide a bond, a performance bond, so that the city is covered in case somebody walks away from a project or something like that. We're working on putting those development provisions, design standards together, so that everything that happens is consistent, it's tested, and it'll be what's in the master plans and what's necessary to be a long-term improvement. So that's something else we're working on right now.
Eric, when you first started talking, you said that you oversaw the landscaping, and we've got a real big issue, and that's the dead trees.
Yeah.
So can you help us with that?
Yeah, we've been actually looking at that quite a bit lately. So when those first came, there's two different species. There's a birch tree on First, and then there's a maple tree on the highway. The contractor, well, actually, when they first came, the birch looked like the leaves were wilted when they came off the truck. And I actually got a message from Rick about that. Hey, these trees don't look very well, very good at all. The contractor, so they grow those trees actually in Sandy. And I said, you know, they actually have a 2-year warranty in their contract. So anytime these trees die within the next 2 years, the contractor needs to replace them. And so we said, if those trees are dead when they got here, then you got to put them in right now. You got to put in a new one right now. And he goes, they're not dead. They're gonna rebud here. You got to give it a few weeks. And so at this point, we're waiting that few weeks to see if they rebud.
Well,
however, they can be. He hasn't been paid for those trees, and he will not be paid for those trees until they show some sign of life. And if they are in fact dead, he'll replace every one of them, and
right.
He will for 2 years.
Corey had told me that. The thing is, we've always been. I don't want to go back, but we all know this. The awful stepchild of Deschutes County. You know, we've gotten a rap for everything from dirty, filthy water that we're drinking to criminals, drugs, trashy, illiterates, and everything else. We have really stressed for the last 14 years I've been here to bring our image and show that we are maybe the littlest city, but with the brightest future. Now we've got the Shine On Lapine, we have 3,000 people coming to town on June 11th.
Uh-huh.
We have twice that many coming during July. You know, what can we do now for all of our tourists and everything? We're not this shabby little town that you just kind of blink and you're through. We want them to stop and see that we are a bright little city.
Yeah.
And we've got dead trees out there.
And we've got dead trees. And
they look dead.
Yeah.
And
perception,
I think, it is, that we just still don't know what we're doing.
We don't have time for their trees to recover this summer.
That's the big question. It's like, okay, when are they going to rebud then?
The other thing is that they are grown over in a very mild climate.
Yeah.
Then they move up to 4,000 feet.
Yeah.
And guess what? We get a frost every night.
Uh huh.
You know, and a lot of people. We can't afford to have the valley trees over here because they die.
Yeah, this tree species is selected by a landscape architect,
that could be fine. But
yeah, and well, I see the ones in Sandy, even though it may be the correct tree species, things in Sandy. Spring starts earlier in Sandy, so
they acclimate to Sandy, and then you try to move them over here.
Yeah,
we are not the same climate. Those trees are going to go through shock, major shock.
Yeah, and they have.
About the high school, what's going on at the high school?
How many times have we replaced the high school? They've been 3-4 years that they replace them every year.
Trees.
We had a 5-year on the high school. They finally look like they took this year for the first time. Yeah.
Well, what I can do is put the contractor on notice that these trees are not, at this point, they're not coming back so far. And
they aren't acceptable.
And we're not going to process payment for invoices for things like that. And in addition to that, he is under warranty for 2 years, and that's after an acceptable product is installed in the first place.
And I think that's all. Those are all good points. I'm sorry.
I have found, I've only been here 10 years, been a property owner since 79, but I found if you don't have altitude acclimated trees here, and I've got some aspens that I planted that were grown at 2,500 feet and they died here. I've got some now that were growing at 5,000 feet and are doing very good.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think you need to look at.
Yeah.
Secondly, any of these trees that we're planting for beautification, how close are they to a sidewalk, and 10 years down the road we've got a buckle in the sidewalk and we've got to repair that?
Yeah. For the most part, they're they're within approximately 5 feet of the sidewalk or the curb. There are, in the case of the highway there, there's a 12-inch, there's a water main that runs down there. And there's a good 15 feet on the highway between the sidewalk and the curb, so there's a good amount of room there.
But in Eugene, they had a 3-foot section between the curb and the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Put maples in there, and all of a sudden, we had sidewalks buckling all over the street and city.
Yeah. And I know it comes down to sometimes the species of tree has a tendency to do that more than other species do as
maples
well.
Maples are a good one to do it. The birch, they're not near as bad.
Yeah.
Okay, the last word on the trees. You're going to have to inform the landscape architect or whoever this guy is. The mountain ash won't grow here. That's what he's got planted out here, mountain ash. Those are a zone 5 tree and this is a zone 2. They won't live here. They're going to die. Even if they bud up this summer and then we go through the winter, next spring they're all going to be dead. So he's going to have to put a different kind of tree in. You're going to have to inform him that this is completely unacceptable. The grass looks nice, the little bushes look nice, the trees suck. So he's going to have to push the tree in.
Yeah, but how do you agree?
But Eric, is there something we can do before the 11th of June when all these tourists come for the garden show? And here we've...
Whatever's written in the contract is pretty much what we're bound to at this point.
We can tell the contractor that we're going to reject this and that he needs to come in with some new trees. And if he could argue and say they're not dead, And if we can, we will have to prepare some sort of documentation to tell him that we believe these trees are dead and dying and they're not going to come back, and he needs to install trees that are living. We can force him to do that now. But until then, we need to get some evidence that they're not alive and going to and rebud and thrive.
Die off the final death.
Corey, in the future, I think you need to think about what we're discussing here for future projects.
Yeah.
And for the simple fact that there's a big altitude thing here, and if you don't believe any of us, go to talk to Linda Stevenson. She'll tell you.
Oh, I believe you, no doubt. And I'm not a landscape architect or an arborist. My dad was a botanist, but that doesn't count for anything. So I think, and this would be my question, is looking more so at future streetscape projects, because ultimately, within the next few years, we're going to have all of the west side of Highway 97 coming down towards here at City Hall with streetscape features. And I think my question, and I don't know the details on this, would be, is there a way in the contract to specify that the trees have to be grown in Central Oregon? I mean, you would pay a premium for that, but at the same time, are grown somewhere at over 3,500 feet.
Yeah,
pick your number.
The ones in Bend that are brought out here,
I don't care if they bring them in from Colorado.
Yeah. Well, Eric Moore has some kind of verbiage that states that.
Yeah, you could certainly do that. And then and keep in mind, this contractor, actually, they built, they did two parks in Bend, and they're doing that Colorado.
That's the difference.
Yeah, like you said, there's a different elevation.
1,500 feet lower than we are.
Yeah, so.
And probably what we should do is set up a standard that says these are the acceptable trees. This is the altitude it needs to be grown at, acceptable altitude.
That's another.
Temperature extremes that we see here from 100 degrees to minus 30.
Yeah, that's another thing. In the design standards, so you can just list out four or five trees and say these are the only trees and that will be accepted by the city in the right of way. And these trees must fit this other criteria, including what elevation they're growing at or where they might be growing at.
Good.
We just need to come up with a list of those trees.
But you know about our Shine On Lapine. Scott, can you tell a little bit about our Cheyenne LaPlaine?
I would hope he knows about Cheyenne LaPlaine.
I mean, we've got all the businesses in on this.
I mean, the whole beautification process was from, you know, Rural Development Association, and it's part of the 3 points is putting the shine on the pine, you know, to make sure the businesses are, you know, upgraded, painted. We're pulling knapweed like crazy around town. We're just making it all look nice. So when we're out pulling knapweed and we look across and see dead trees, it just not acceptable in Winoba. I know we got a great deal on the landscaping.
Well, but yeah, it's not like we got bargain trees and they're dead on arrival.
No, I agree that. A lot of thought was put in.
There was no winter in the valley, and I know Sandy is not high elevation, but there was no winter in the valley. They budded out there. We had written in the contract that, you know, these were the species of trees that the landscape architect we'd worked with, who's familiar with Central Oregon and lives in Central Oregon, had recommended, and you know, we had made a point to have the 2-year guarantee there. So we also wanted a 2-inch tree instead of a 1-inch tree so that we wouldn't be waiting 5 years for it to be a 2-inch tree. So we're talking about beautifying a street that is for people, it's for us now, and it's for ultimately the city beautifying and revitalizing over 5, 10, 20 years. So I know that doesn't help for this June and July. I don't know if it would have been hard probably timing transplanting a tree, planting it in May, and getting it to bud and look good in June and July.
True.
Anyways, so we need to try to make it so that with future projects, these are planted earlier, although I think all of you who have lived here for a lot longer than I would admit, you have a small window. Spring here is, you don't want to plant it in February or March.
It's frozen.
So you've got a quick window if you want it to look good in June, July of that year. So if anything, I would say this streetscape project, although it's finishing and the sod and the shrubs will look good, our fingers will be crossed that next June and July, the trees will look great. So.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a couple of options. You know, you could wait and see what happens. Just looking out the window here,
they're just starting.
They're just starting to bud here, so if that's the case, maybe it's just a matter of waiting just a couple more weeks, and it's going to be good.
What trees are there? If you look out this window right here, you'll see a whole bunch of trees right out there.
Yeah,
that's what grows here.
Yeah.
You know, the things that are over 20 foot tall, yeah, they grow here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to see out there in the landscape, too. Things that grow here.
And these ones here on the in front of City Hall, and the ones that are on the highway on the north end, those are the same species. The ones on First Street are a different species. However, the landscape architect that we were working with on this project, she got her information from... there's a nursery south near the intersection of 31. She consulted with the owner of that nursery south of here to come up with the species that she included in the project.
She probably didn't consult with Linda then.
No, she didn't. Linda did not approve ash trees here.
She did not.
I was under the understanding they were maples and birches.
That's what I thought.
Did I hear that incorrectly?
I don't think there are any ash.
I don't think there are either.
I didn't hear any ash, but ash will live in a zone 5, but they have to be acclimated to it. You can't bring them from the lower elevations or a zone 2 and transplant them to zone 5.
You got to remember, we're going to deal with not reality, but perception of the public that comes in here to visit.
Yeah.
And if they go away with a bad taste in their mouth, they're going to let other people know, don't go to LaPine. We want them to come back. You know, and you're in a catch-22 situation. I realize that. But you're the messenger to help us out.
Yeah, the other alternative is to tell the contractor right now that these are rejected and he needs to come with new trees. So
that would be the best thing to do. Those trees were grown in the valley. They were budded in the valley. They were brought over here and planted in a snowstorm. The root balls were completely frozen when they put them in the ground.
What do you expect? Have him pull them all up and put some decent trees in there for $108,000 that was paid out on this project. We got to get our money's worth. So I tell him to get that crap out of there and put some trees in that actually grow here. And it's real simple. You go over here and you talk to Linda Stephenson, and she'll tell you exactly what trees will grow here and exactly what trees won't grow here. And those won't.
Well, I'll look into that and talk to him about it. So what we got to do is make sure that there's something on these trees that's not healthy right now. And if they are healthy, and we've told them we rejected them, then they've got a claim against the city. So
we need to tread lightly on this. I know people are excited that it's sunny and it's warm and tourists are coming here. You know what tourists are going to be talking about? The light on First Street, the wider sidewalks, the sod. I don't know if they're going to leave here saying, the one bad thing I remember about Lapine was that there weren't leaves on the trees on First Street. I might be wrong.
Well, then go pull the dead ones off, Corey.
Well, we'll fall, yeah.
And when you just say, oh, I'm not budded yet.
We have certain things that we can do, as Eric has mentioned, but we have to tread lightly with the contract that we have so that we're not claiming one thing when they're not, because we didn't write in the contract that they must have a 3-inch green leaf by the time the project's complete. We said we want trees that are alive, that are 2 inches thick and guaranteed for 2 years.
And if we take away anything else from this, we are not Redmond, we are not Bend. All of us that garden and bring stuff, and we buy it there, it's beautiful, it dies here. So I think that's what, even if we got someone out of Bend, we might have had the same problem because they just don't make it here. So just for future reference, I just think the best thing, and even things that Linda brings in sometimes, they just like the hawthorns. Some of them make them, some of them don't. But, and certainly we appreciate all that you do, Eric, and we're not stigmas. It's just that with this big thing about shine on Lapine and we are this bright little city, we just wanted it to be our best. That's
sure.
All. Everybody's worked real hard for all of this, and this is our show and tell time. And especially when we brought in all our business people, all of them have signed up to beautify themselves. Huntington, Highway 97, North Lapine, it's just phenomenal what the volunteers have done here. So.
Yeah, thank you. And that message, even when these went in, I remember that hearing that message loud and clear, and that was a very, very large consideration, I know, for the landscape architect for this project. And I know there was a lot of thought put into the selection of the species. At this point, if they're not going to live and thrive, then they need to be removed, like you said. I need to go and obtain some evidence and to provide something to the contractor to indicate this is not meeting the contract, and this needs to be replaced.
And we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
That's all we can ask.
I'll coordinate with Eric on that, and I'll remember. This is the first streetscape project that I've been working with the city on, and I'll remember the trees planted in the spring of 2016, and this, that we need to make sure
shrubs
that or shrubs, just to, that we are at 4,400 feet, and it's different. So, points well taken for sure. Thank you.
How about any more updates?
I'll give a quick update on the budget process, which is that we had our, thanks Eric, appreciate it. We had our budget committee meetings 2 weeks ago, the first week of May, and the budget was approved at that time and is slated to be adopted by council the second week of June. And so just real quick on in particular the streets fund, we have $850,000 reserved for future capital outlay for future projects. The bulk of that is $500,000 for the West Side streetscape project, because we again will be required to pay for the landscaping and to get it right and to have it done and look good. We got over $1 million from ODOT to do the sidewalks and the ADA ramps and things like that moving south, but we need to have plenty in reserves for landscaping. We also have $250,000 set aside for future cable road improvements, which the plan is, in order to, you know, we're $1.98 per assessed thousand value. We're a city that provides essential services, one of which we will need to be more cognizant of in the future is roads and road maintenance. So if we have a water and sewer expansion project that likely is, you know, 3-4 years out from now, do we want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars improving roads that are then going to be torn up? And we don't, exactly. And everybody would agree with that. So we're setting money aside so that when those projects do happen, and my thought is they will, we can then come in while the roads are torn up and fix some of the roads up there. In the meantime, because I know that the roads are getting worse from what I've heard, is that we're going to continue to grade more often. So we've upped the grading budget by about $8,000, which will allow us to grade it an extra 2 or 4 times per year, whether that's, you know, in the spring or in the fall.
The positive note to that is right now the Cagle roads are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Are they? Okay. Well, that's good.
I haven't seen anybody go in a ditch and not be able to get out yet. So that's a positive footnote.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's still early.
You know, the last rain, I was really getting concerned about that, but actually they held up very well, so
good.
I'll knock on wood if we could ever find a. The Cagle roads actually are in the best shape I think I've seen them at this time of year in a long time.
I drove every road in Cagle yesterday.
Yeah, I've been down, just all, I keep on trying to try all of them out.
They're all in pretty good shape. So as long as you stay down at that 25 speed limit, you're
well,
okay.
Well, that's another problem.
Yeah, I know.
I've heard about that as well. And that's something we'll be aware of when we are. You know, if you're going to be paving roads in there, you're going to want some speed bumps or something because you don't want it to be a mile-long
race. The problem with improving roads is you take out all of our speed bumps.
Yeah.
You have natural speed bumps in there. Now that those are gone, now we've got a speeding problem.
Unintended consequences. You got to always be aware of those. So we've got $250,000 set aside for that, an upgrading budget for next fiscal year. That last remaining $100,000 is, you know, we're celebrating 10 years of incorporation as a city, and the city isn't responsible for all the roads in the city, but we are responsible for quite a few. And if you're looking at street maintenance, and I'm not a streets engineer guy, but what I've heard is that you're generally looking at kind of 10-year horizons. So we're getting due for where we need to start paying for some crack sealing and other maintenance measures. So we're starting a pot of money on the side there, $100,000 that will be in reserve set aside for just call it general street maintenance. And you don't want to get in a position, and we'll never be like Ben having to fix all their potholes and that issue, but we won't be there. But you might as well start sooner so that you don't find yourself in a position scrambling.
And Ben's position.
Exactly. And you do that by saving and being prudent, looking ahead, and making some trade-offs.
I thought that was just probably the area that they
Where was that?
Huntington Meadows out there.
Oh yeah, no, that's exactly, yeah, you'll drive down some of the roads that haven't been developed and they've got, you know, 3-inch cracks in there that need to be sealed. So that's definitely one of the spots. That's a good point.
They're never put in properly to begin with, so.
Yeah.
What do we do about all these little pocket subdivisions that kind of went under and everything's all crumbled and yucky? It's just going to be whoever buys that property is going to have to fix it up?
I don't think we can do much retrospectively. I think really the point is what Eric was talking about with development standards moving forward and the city assuming roads and having standards so that they're assumed. My understanding is that Deschutes County actually said they won't assume any more roads in unincorporated Deschutes County. And so we're kind of playing a little bit of I hesitate to say cat and mouse game, but the county owns lots of roads. They're out repaving Finley Butte. The city's not paying for that. And we've been careful not to assume some of those roads. And so there's a great relationship between the county and the city, but when you get into streets, it's a little murkier, and we're kind of sorting through that. And as development picks up, that's something that we're going to want to be well aware of.
And make sure that those roads, when they do go in, they are inspected and they meet the standard.
That's the main thing, is the future from now on, going forward development must meet these specifications.
Exactly. It's happened to Ben a lot. There's been a lot of subdivisions that just sat there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 10 years ago, the standards and specs were quite a bit different than they are now. And you just really have to brush up and determine what you want to do going forward. Then you just hold those contractors for those standards and specs that you set up. And if it's lot by lot, or if they take over the whole subdivision and redevelop it, then they're going to do it that way.
Good. Anything else, Corey? I mean, you're doing a million things. Is there anything else you want to mention?
Things are busy. They're good, but they're busy. You know, the budget was a big thing. We've got lots of planning applications, lots of amendments to zoning ordinances, things going on like that. I'm well aware of being on the Planning Commission. It's been a busy last few months, but I would rather have that than being bored and not having good things going on, whether it's Shine on the Pine and community-based volunteer efforts, or the city, you know, applying for grants and putting the budget together and feeling really excited about opportunities next year. So,
Speaking about Finley Butte Road, is the county assuming the responsibility for pouring the new concrete from the sidewalks down to the? They're replacing a whole bunch of them. I thought that would have been the city.
Are they doing sidewalks?
There are sidewalks involved in the new development project.
The development project.
Is that what you're talking about, right at the intersection?
Yeah, Midway.
Far east.
Business Park.
Right.
Business Park. The only way really that's the county won't be doing anything with the sidewalks is my understanding.
Well, I guess my question is, it doesn't look like there are ADA ramps going down to the street.
Oh.
So I didn't know who was responsible or whether they're going to bring the grade of the streets up so that they are ADA compliant. And I know that they were some of the pieces of concrete that Scott was looking at last year, so I wasn't sure if that was a city thing or whether that was a county or...
So the right-of-way today on Finley Butte Road is 60 feet wide. Whatever's inside of that 60 feet is technically the responsibility of Deschutes County. Although they may say that we never accepted such and such piece and they won't ever fix it. If something gets dedicated, as a project comes in, the dedication of right-of-way outside of that 60 feet, the county won't accept that. The only entity that can accept that would be the city. So outside of the, if there's a new development and a dedication of right-of-way and a sidewalk that occurs that's newly constructed in that outside dedication, that would be the city's right-of-way and the city maintenance responsibility. If there's an existing sidewalk you're talking about that's right at the edge of pavement, that's in the county's jurisdiction, and I need to go take a look and see what is being constructed there to see.
Okay, because they ripped all the ramps, you know, down to the edge of pavement from the sidewalk down. They ripped them all out and they reported them. And so
I would guess that must have been sidewalks that were within the existing right of way.
Yeah.
In the transportation system plan, what is it, 76 feet on Finley View? Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a wider right of way. So ultimately the thought is that, you know, Finley View will have sidewalks on both sides. But again, that is really triggered when you have redevelopment, because we can't go in with our TSP and say, okay, all you property owners now have to put this in because we went through a public process and created a TSP. But if they redevelop and go through site plan, that does trigger that. So,
if they're tearing up the old existing sidewalk, aren't they responsible to replace that old existing sidewalk?
Yes, they are.
I mean, that's what I've heard from Tom.
From the edge of pavement to the sidewalk, they ripped all that out and they poured new.
Maybe they're prepping for the new, where they grind in Finley View coming up?
So it's just an overlay. So,
okay. But, you know, they left like 3 or 4 inches from the edge of the roadway up to the concrete, so it seemed like...
they grinded that out.
Well, they jackhammered all the sidewalks, you know, the... What do you call that piece, you know, that has to be ADA compliant?
The curb ramp.
The ramp. And they did pour ramps, is what it doesn't look like to me, so...
I think they just started that.
Yeah, is there concrete there now? Is there,
yeah, they poured concrete already on some of them.
So they replaced concrete through the ramp without constructing a ramp?
That's what it looks like to me.
I would say it looks like
that. Yeah, Eric will.
It's what I'm looking at.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up.
Because I know that the other ones got ripped out by the snow plows, so if you have something sticking up like that.
Yeah. I know that overlay is going to raise that street up a little bit, right? Maybe they're just...
Maybe they set a ramp at a different grade.
Sure, I know our water valves are going to, or valve cans are going to get raised as well.
Yeah.
With that project.
When are you going to have the time, now that we're almost through the budget process, to begin in earnest doing residential
code enforcement?
Again.
You're not the only one coming.
Maybe you could dedicate some of that code enforcement work to this Jay Corbus guy right here. Give him a little. He can run around town and write all the stuff down.
Everybody's buddy's still around here, so I don't know. We'll see.
he will play a little bit more of a role in that, as you know. We brought up at staff meetings in the past that the public works guys, the crew, really, they're Johnny and Mike. They're out in the field. They're driving, and they are. I want them to be, you know, eyes and ears for all kinds of things, whether it's public works related or whether it's potential code enforcement violations. We have a few complaints. I have not called back about the chickens running free up in Cable. I haven't been able to call.
I run them off every day.
You run them off? Okay.
Along with the dog and the horse.
The dog and the horse.
Yeah. You got some rabbits?
There's a couple other ones that were brought to my attention that a formal complaint wasn't written, but you know, some storage of junk over off of Morrison over here, and just there's a few that are already on my radar, and my plan is, Doug, to be able to set aside some time every week to be following up on some of these violations, and it really is. There's a formal process laid out in the ordinance. And so it's, you know, you're sending a first letter, and you'd be surprised. A lot of times you send a first letter, and they didn't know they were in violation, or, you know, you let them know that you've got 30 or 45 days courtesy to move it, and then it takes care of itself. And you hope for those. And so I can have some of those going. We also contract with Deschutes County to do code enforcement as well. And so Rick and I had talked, and we always kind of want to have the county, John Griley is one of their code enforcement officers, working on a code enforcement issue. And so he's probably going to be issuing a citation for a gentleman north of Burgess on Huntington that I've heard of many people talk about, that's been an ongoing issue for several years.
He's just plain stubborn.
Okay, well, I heard that.
He just refuses to do anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, John, I spoke with John 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about him moving forward with citation on that. So it's starting to work its way back into the conversation.
Because I can bring you a whole stack of violations that I've already got written down if you want them.
I bet you can. And we, you know, I probably could spend 20 hours a week on code enforcement if I really, you know, if that's what the council hired me to do.
I think you're right in the fact that one good firm letter will solve half the problem, and you won't do nothing after that.
True.
There are those that will fight you to the bitter end.
Yeah, and some of it is they're stubborn. Some of it is they don't have the means to pay for being cleaned up, and the city did help a little bit with a property on Railroad, providing a drop box, and actually we might do that again, just to, you know, if there's junk and if people need it cleaned up, the city maybe can help in certain creative ways other than just carrying a big stick and trying to take them to court and spend $10,000 on legal fees to not get anywhere. So it requires, you start with a letter, and then depending on which path you start working down, you have different approaches that you can take. I've got a template saved, whether it's for for junk or for an RV. You know, I've got kind of, call it three or four different template letters that depending on what the violation is, I can kind of plug in the property information and change the address and a couple other things. But yeah, definitely it's back on the radar, Doug, and I appreciate you asking about it. And I'll try to have an update on a few of those at the next Planning Commission meeting for you, or the next Public Works, and or the next Public Works Committee meeting. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other updates?
I don't think so. If there's any other questions.
Okay, how about member attendance? Public Works Committee.
Sorry to cut you off.
Well, sorry.
Linda. So in the, let's see here, this was brought to my attention. So the resolution that created the Public Works Committee back in 2011, Section 4 talks about, notwithstanding anything contained in this resolution to the contrary, a member may be removed by the City Council for any of the following reasons: A, failure to attend 3 regular council meetings, commission of a felony, incompetence, failure to declare conflicts of interest, or any other member acts, misconduct, or non-performance. I think the only reason I'm really bringing this up is that, you know, generally I think the routine that I've noticed since I've been here is that the Public Works Committee usually meets every other month. So really that's only 6 meetings a year, which isn't all that frequent, depending on, you know, how many things we have in motion. So I'm not suggesting that anybody should be removed. I'm just emphasizing that if you want to be a part of it, if we need to do a better job communicating, or if you need to miss one a year or something like that, that's no problem at all. But just a reminder that, you know, this is the hope is that everyone attends, you know, when we have the meeting scheduled. I know sometimes that changes, but just a reminder on that. So I don't know if there's any questions.
Well, I think there should be a minimum. I mean,
a minimum.
You know, if you're missing 3/4 of the meetings, why are you here?
That's a good point. Yep. I think that's a good point.
It's one thing. We all are out of town sometimes. Sick. In the hospital, I guess that's an excuse. You should send a representative. Yeah.
It should be the exception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I think it's the continuity is all the things that we learn, the people that we've met, the topics we've talked about. They all kind of build on one another, so we can go, oh yeah, the pump up at Wiki up, and oh yeah, the concrete falling apart over here. And if you don't have that history because you haven't attended that meeting, then you couldn't have thought about it and reflected on it and spread the word and all this other kind of stuff. So it's really kind of important not to miss any meetings.
I agree with that. I'll talk to the council about, and some of the committee members who have missed, you know, more than others, and find out if, you know, A, they want to be a part of it, and if they can, you know, change that trend. And then, you know, if not, then we can get some new folks on board who will come to the meetings. So.
Okay, how about other issues and concerns?
Kind of already discussed some of them, so.
Okay.
So
yeah. Yeah. How about public comments?
I'm glad Jake's here.
I think
he did a good job. We interviewed him. He's going to be a top-notch guy. I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
Or condolences, one or the other.
I know, all of a sudden you're really quiet, Jake.
Who said that? Me, it's a little shorter, though.
A lot shorter. Yeah.
Anybody else?
I'd like to, you know, say welcome to Jake as well. And on behalf, this is the most of the staff of Beacon Engineering. This is your engineer of record. And we all look forward to working with Jake on projects.
Staff comments?
Ashley, you got anything to add? Jake?
Not here. Nope. It's going to be a learning curve for a while, but I'm going to stick with it.
Good. It is for all of us, Jake.
I got some pretty big shoes to fill, literally. We're on the size 14.
I guess I do have one other comment. If from Whispering Pines Baptist Church, they really did appreciate the help on resolving the billing issue.
Yeah, great.
Water leak.
Good, I'm glad that worked out.
Good resolution, thank you.
Perfect, glad to hear. Nice job, Ashley.
Thanks. Committee member comments? Go ahead.
What's your plans on fixing the problem with the birds again this year?
Tomorrow we have a lift rented from Ben.
Yeah,
the guys purchased like a lift, so we can get up there and work like a boom lift.
Okay.
They're picking it up in the morning. They're leaving at 6:30. They're gonna bring it back. They've got some bird netting that's supposed to deter them. That's what the experts say is supposed to work, and they're gonna put them up in the eaves and then along the rafters going out. They're going to do that tomorrow. They're going to come in early. Well, they were going to start today, but I didn't really want them out there while the meetings were going on first thing in the morning. The meeting tomorrow is later, so I hopefully they can get it wrapped up by then.
Their main focus is going to be... That's been a real problem for a number of years.
Right.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, and I think... I know it's in my nature, and I can tell it's in Jake's as well, is that, you know, we can go out there and you can spray the hose and knock it down and do that every year, or you can take a little bit more time and spend a little bit more money and invest a little bit more and just get it done so that it's more of a permanent solution. So I think our approach is obviously that west facing front where people come in and out of City Hall, take care of that, and then probably the south side as well, and leave the front. We're not quite sure yet on that. Depends how long it'll take. They gotta, you know, get down here with the boom and the netting.
We'll probably see if it works too first.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Before we do the whole building.
So.
Good, thank you.
Okay, mm-hmm. Are we ready to adjourn?
I would so move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aaron, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.